Hey everybody, we are back with another episode of Can't Stop Snapping, the official podcast of MarvelSnapZone.com. As you know, the new and muchly anticipated battle mode is now live in Marvel Snap. Very exciting. That's one of the main things we talk about on today's show. I've been playing a couple matches online. I've been posting some match codes on Twitter. I'll probably do that again. But I'm going to look into other ways where I can allow listeners to play against me and maybe set up a little bit of some friendly tournaments. Stay tuned for that. If you aren't already, make sure you're in the Marvel Snap Zone Discord, as we do have channels there for episode discussion, questions for the podcast, etc. And if I do something like that, some kind of a tournament, or allow people to play against me for certain periods of time, I will be posting about it there. So make sure you go join the Marvel Snap Zone Discord. Well, we've got a ton of things to talk about with our guests today in the episode, so without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. Hey everybody, we are back with another episode of Can't Stop Snapping, the official podcast of MarvelSnapZone.com. Today we have a big episode, probably the biggest one we've had in a while, and we are going to try to do our best to keep the time here. Because we have so many topics to cover, and I'm sure we could talk for hours on this. But I am joined today by two guest hosts, both returning multiple-time guests. We are joined first by Loot Muncher. Thanks for being here, Loot.
Good, thanks for having me.
And we are joined once again by Teddy Ninja.
Hey, guys. Awesome to be back.
Yeah, grateful to have you both on here today for the topics. Like I said, we could talk for ages about this, but we will do our best to move from topic to topic over the course of the hour. And as we've been doing, you know, week by week, we'd love to start off with the new card and the new location that were added to Marvel Snap this week. The new card added this week, Shadow King, I think kind of an interesting card that people have had mixed thoughts on online from what I've seen. Shadow King is a 4-cost, 3-power card with the ability that reads, on reveal, set all cards here to their original base power. And I just want to say, at least the way I'm reading this, the way I'm understanding it, I don't know if you guys have seen this in action yet, but my understanding would be that this does not affect ongoing cards. So if an ongoing card has been buffed by something like Nova or Silver Surfer, for example, that buff would be removed. It would be sent back to its original power. But if it has an ongoing ability, let's talk, Ant-Man or something, right, where it's getting the 3 additional power for being at a full location, it would retain that ongoing ability power. Does that sound right to you guys?
Yeah, that's my understanding. And yeah, this is going to be never before seen. Still get the message for me. Haven't seen it in action yet. I love the theming here for the entire month being all 4-cost cards to synergize with Zabu. I wonder if we're going to get more thematically woven together cards as kind of seasons progress and they deal with the backlog of releases going forward.
I would enjoy that. Loot Muncher, let's go to you. What's kind of your general impression of Shadow King from the description?
Yeah, I've seen him played a little bit. I think it is definitely a tech card. I think most people have landed on that. There's not a whole lot of synergies you can do, but if you throw Zabu in with, you know, Shang-Chi and Enchantress, like, you really have an onslaught of tech cards that you can handle. Pretty much anything your opponent throws out with, and Zabu making it cheaper makes it a lot easier to play those cards. So that's where I'm seeing is it being more of a tech card than anything.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, right? I feel like this is one of our first, I'm trying to think back, all the season passes we've had and the cards they've been releasing in Series 4, Series 5, like not a ton of them feel like tech cards in the sense something like you mentioned, kind of Enchantress, Shang-Chi, a Cosmo, right? Where it's kind of just a shutdown card. It's not something that is a win con a lot of the times. I mean, it can be, yeah. Right? But yeah,
it seems like we've had more build around me cards come out that you know, they want you to build around Dazzler and Shauna. Like, those are cards you want to build a deck around and try to play with. But yeah, Shadow King seems like the first real tech card that has come out.
Yeah, I think obviously, the system they've set up is right. They're going to release cards into Series 5, then those will drop to Series 4. But I almost wonder if Shadow King would be more interesting in Series 4, a little more accessible to more players early on, just to, you know, people to use against certain metas, certain decks that are, you know, a lot of people are playing. I just feel like we're not going to know a lot for a while on if Shadow King's a good card to include against certain decks, right? I just don't feel, I don't know what you guys think. I don't imagine a lot of people are saving up 6,000 collector's tokens to go out and buy Shadow King first.
Oh, no, I certainly would not recommend the 6,000 token purchase, but he is going to be coming down eventually. And Ben Brode released their internal metrics that Shang-Chi is the lowest win rate card of all cards.
Oh, wow.
He's ending up blank a lot right now, especially in the current meta. And so it could be the Shadow King that steps up as your tech card of choice. Right now, I think Enchantress is still probably favored in the meta, but being able to unwrite what Silver Surfer is doing, and I would have to test this, but I believe reset cards that have been hit by Mr. Negative, because I think that his decks are going to be exploding. Shuri as well. Now, Shuri is providing Shang-Chi targets, but Shadow King is hitting this whole spectrum of the meta and could find himself being just more reliable. So I'm actually kind of, I'm optimistic for getting to see him settle into a comfortable place alongside these other tech options.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, we've seen a lot of zero Shuri play, right? That's definitely a good deck that has been used a lot recently, and I hadn't really thought about it. It's an obvious, right? It's an obvious connection that Shadow King would be kind of turn that off, you know, even when maybe they have an armor at a location, for example, right? And you can't Shang-Chi the card, you could still Shadow King the card to bring down the power, which is interesting.
Yep. Cosmo's still wearing the crown. He's going to make you completely invulnerable, but it is a good shout out. Shuri and Bast both moving down to series four, already pieces of very powerful meta lists that are now going to become more accessible. And so then I think is going to dramatically expand their share of the meta.
Yeah. So I don't know if either of you saw, Lou, I think you actually liked my tweet maybe earlier today, but I saved up all my tokens, or sorry, my credits, right? I said, I'm going to wait for the card drops today when the patch hits. I'm going to open up a bunch of reserves, see what I get. Very first reserve I open, what do I get? I get Shadow King, which was kind of hilarious. So I actually have this card without having purchased it, but it was kind of like, you know, it just blew me away. Like, oh, well, I have 19 or 20 reserves to open. This is the first thing I open. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to play with this right now.
Amazing.
So great luck on my part. I haven't used them at all yet. I don't know when I will. I'm sure I will, but I kind of want the dust to settle from the patch to see, okay, is this a deck or is this a card I want to start including in some decks based on what people are playing, right? Over the next couple of weeks. So I'll have to report back with my thoughts maybe in a couple of weeks, but we'll see if I become a Shadow King believer here on the podcast. So any closing thoughts from either of you on Shadow King before we move on?
Yeah, I just think there are a lot of cards that can be touched by. That's why I really think it is a good tech card. I think we have to wait till, you know, the meta obviously got shifted a little bit with nerfs and buffs today. But I think this is going to be a really good card because, you know, I was thinking while you're talking about cards that see a lot of play right now, Sunspot, Scorpion, like Shadow King hits those. I mean, if you can be cheeky with it and someone Scorpion your hand, you can play all your Scorpion cards in one and then pump it back up. I was thinking about, you were talking about the series four cards. Valkyrie's a series four card. You could undo their Valkyrie. So definitely a lot of options, and definitely I think will depend on what's being played in the meta. But I can see Shadow King seeing play. It's just going to take time for the right meta to come along.
Yeah. That is one. Before we move on, I guess we should just, that's an important note. It says set all cards here to their original base power. That's on both sides of the board. That is a very good distinction. So that can bring your cards that maybe have had their power lowered back up to their original base power, which is important to note. But let's move on here to the featured location. Funny enough, I've played several matches since this location has been the featured location the last hour at the time of recording, and I think I've only got it in one game. So I've kind of just been on the lower side of the probability there. But that is the location this week is Plunder Castle. And Plunder Castle, it's the last location we're having for the season, and it reads, only cards that cost six can be played here. So we always want to make sure we kind of clarify a couple of things. Again, I've only had it pop up in one of my games. I was trying to test it here. Is the understanding from what you guys have seen or how you're reading this, do the cards have to originally cost six or cost six at the time you're playing the card into the location?
Yeah, so it's current cost. The wording distinction that they use in the game is if they use the hyphen. So six hyphen cost is base cost in all cases, and then cards that cost X are current cost in all cases. And now somebody in the comments is going to say, oh, but this one card is still an outlier and they need to clean up the verbiage, but that's my understanding.
Yeah. So that's interesting for sure. You know, what originally came to my mind, having a open null actually in a reserve only 3 weeks ago or so, and having
earned got it, two series five. Oh my gosh. I think I've won.
I think I've opened three or four series five cards in reserves. Yeah.
When are you going to Vegas? Take me.
And that's without spending money on the game other than season passes. So
incredible.
So I got enough tokens with all my reserves today to get Galactus. I haven't had Galactus yet. And so I said, well, I'm thinking, okay, so I wave on three, I Galactus into Plunder Castle, and then I play Galactus in there, and then I play Null or something, right? But I'm thinking, I was thinking I could play Galactus if I triggered him with wave, but you know, the way you kind of clarified it for us, that wouldn't work.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
You just gotta swap that out for Electro.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's fair. Okay.
Or Psylocke.
Because then I would have the energy. Okay, yeah, because then I could play Galactus into Plunder Castle on five, and then I could play Null there on six.
Yeah, I think overall ramp is looking really good here with Electro and Psylocke. If you're keying in on trying to win this featured location with your tech, ramp has already been fairly solid in the meta, so in the matchups where you don't get Plunder Castle, you'll be okay. Though my particular flavors were really relying on leader, but that's going to be a discussion for later on in the show, I'm sure.
Yes.
But yeah, that's certainly looking good to me. The other option I'm seeing is movement or just splashing vision, right? Something that can get the move over there.
Yeah, that's very fair. Loot Muncher, where did your thoughts go when you saw this location?
It's a very interesting one. It's one of those cards that like they it's kind of been a trend where they want you to play a few cards into a location, but really restrict what you can have going in there. And so I think it's a very interesting location. I've only played a few games since it's come out, and I've been very unlucky and haven't seen it once.
Oh, there so, you go. Yeah.
Still waiting to experience firsthand, but yes, definitely a lot of tricks and you can do. I saw a buddy of mine, he was playing Armazola. So it's just, you don't worry about, you're going to sneak something big in there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Something. Yeah. No, I think that's great. I mean, that would work well with, you know, like we were saying, like Shuri decks and stuff like that. You get a big card on five, you split it on six, right? And load it up with maybe a doubled up Red Skull or something, right?
You really got my brain going on Galactus. I didn't think about Galactus for this location. But if you can Galactus on five and then Null on six, they can't play Enchantress or Shang-Chi or anything to like counter it because it's not a six cost. Well,
that's what I was thinking, right? Is like, you know, they may have something like an America Chavez or Magneto, right? The, you know, high cost or high power six cost card that they're trying to play in there. They think maybe they can beat you, but like Null always wins in every scenario there. But that sounds great in theory. We're talking about it. Sounds fun, but like, is anybody going to really stay in for that situation, right? So it's like maybe that's like a you win two cubes or you win two cubes every game. So, I don't know if it's that good, but that's definitely where my brain went. And I think you mentioned an interesting trend, Loot Muncher, that we've kind of had these locations that are a little harder to play into. Right, like Rickety Bridge, Death Domain, or sorry, Altar of Death.
I can't ever remember the two cards name, but the one where it destroys the first card you play,
Vormir,
and then the other one where you have to play the second card your turn, you can't play the first card there.
That is Morag.
Yeah,
both of those. Yeah, this definitely gives me those vibes, the same kind of strategy,
yeah. So, interesting location. We're recording this at the time, you know, 1 hour into the 48 hours of having this. Where do you guys think your sanity levels, you know, comparing this to other featured locations we've had, new locations we've had in the past, where's your sanity level going to be 47 hours from now? Teddy, we'll go to you first.
Oh, well, if it turns into a Galactus ladder, they're going to... Well, two things. One is I'm at infinite, so I'm not worried about climbing right now. But if I was grinding on ladder and if Galactus takes over, I would go insane. But if it doesn't, I think this one is a little bit more open to different tech rather than the other lists that we've gotten that just really skewed things toward destruction. Deathwave has just been everywhere with all the other Savage Lands locations. So I'm pretty happy with this one overall, and I think it's going to be fun. I always like projecting down to when it's just in the random skew or the random casino. I think I'm going to be pretty happy to see it pop up then and try and be able to play around it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Loot Muncher, are you going to be scratching the walls in 47 hours from now?
Oh, no, I'm definitely going to be the one trying to jam Galactus, I think, with this now. You're talking about only two cubes, but that's fine. I'll take the two cubes in my opponent's tears any day.
So. Okay, so question. Are the featured locations in, do they imbalance battle mode? Do we know?
They do not affect battle mode.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, I'm glad you knew that because I had the same question, so...
Good. Yeah, I'm sure I have it on good authority that that's the case.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I should be talking about it, but not disclosing anything crazy. But yeah, it seems like that feature locations or hot locations won't affect battle mode.
Sweet. That is good to know. Yeah, I was worried about that. I was like, I want to play against people, but I don't want the featured location to kind of get in the way of that, was kind of my thought. So glad to hear that's the case. Hey all, I wanted to take a quick moment to talk to you about MarvelSnapZone.com. Marvel Snap Zone is a one-stop shop for everything Marvel Snap on the internet. They have new articles nearly every day that cover deck building, strategy, card breakdowns, etc. They have a great collection tracker tool and a decklist builder that works off of that collection tracker so that you can know what decks you can build with your current card collection. They have guides and deck lists for all level of players and all collection level of players. Make sure to go to MarvelSnapZone.com and check it out now. Let's move on here and let's talk patch notes. I'll give you guys my general impression before we dive in here. I was surprised at the lack of cards that were buffed or updated. I was expecting more cards to be changed. I just want to get your sense there. Did you guys expect more cards to be balanced? Kind of on what we've seen on Twitter, on Discord, of saying, oh yeah, patch is coming, balance is coming. Did you guys expect more from this?
Did one of those cards begin with silver and end in Urfer?
Well, I mean, maybe, but I thought, well, spoiler alert for listeners, we'll get into it in a second. There's two cards that were changed, and I was expecting a minimum 5-6 just based off of past patches, you know?
Yeah, this one is coming shorter on the heels to the previous one than a lot of the patches have.
Very fair.
So with battle mode right around the corner, I could understand that they didn't want to rock the boat too much. I've also seen one of the balanced team devs put out a tweet that they've changed their architecture so that they can deploy card changes without a full patch now, and they are projecting changes to both Silver Surfer and Zabu. It's just speculation as to what those changes will look like, but they have identified those as overperformers currently. So I'm happy with what we got. The full rework, because I'm calling these changes full reworks for the two cards. I love that that's what they did, rather than just tinkering with only the power or some other subtle nudges.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting for sure. What are your general impressions before we dive in here, Loot?
Same thing. I definitely was expecting a few more cards. I've been a big component that I think the meta was mostly fine. Surfer and Zabu definitely stood out, but I just felt like we needed more time with those cards. If they wanted to turn Surfer, that would have been fine. It does seem like we are getting a Surfer change, but Zabu, I wanted more time. Like, you know, the card hasn't even been out a month yet. Close to it now, but wanted just to have more time with it to see, because, you know, as more cards come out, more locations, cards are going to go up in power and stuff. So it's all going to fluctuate. So very excited, though. Teddy touched on the new technology they have to change cards. So hopefully they will, you know, have more buffs or nerfs, maybe be a little bit more brazen with it, knowing that they don't have to wait a month for a patch. If they do change something, tweak something, and it seems to break something, they can then just change it the next week.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I feel positively about what you guys are saying, kind of the new architecture being able to change it. But I guess I don't know how to fully feel about it until we actually see it in practice, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to see cards changing every week necessarily. I don't think anybody would enjoy that as much. I just feel like that would feel like too much of a roller coaster. But it's nice to know that it's not going to be contingent on them making sure all the other bugs are fixed, or, you know, there's no last minute hiccups in the app build before they push it out to the stores, right? That's always a positive in my mind. But I don't know if I want to see it on a like faster cadence, if that makes sense. I think I'm okay with once a month, you know, changes.
Yeah, for exactly. Sure.
The more what I was talking about was just in case of emergency kind of thing.
Yep.
You know, they release the next season pass card and that's the only deck that's viable. They can change it or something like that.
Yes, I do. That's what I really like, is a hotfix potential for battle pass cards specifically, because it brings up an interesting question of when does it feel okay for them to do a change? If it's exclusive to people who buy the battle pass and it's incredibly powerful and dominating the meta, and then it gets into the series and then gets down to series three and it's like free to play accessible. And then the devs are like, oh yeah, so now we have enough data. We think we should nerf this. And it's like, well, what? You had to pay to be able to play the card when it was good. Like, that would feel terrible. So I actually like tuning the battle pass cards, like while they're still battle pass or just like at the very end of their season. That feels better to me somehow.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I could see that. I've mentioned this many times on the podcast, but in my day job, I work in software. So being able to quickly get out, you know, a hot fix, right, is the term, definitely a great thing in technology. So I'm sure the development team is very grateful to be in that kind of a situation now. But let's dive into the meat here of the patch notes. So we have patch highlights at the beginning. And we'll dive more into this after we cover the patch notes. But new feature, friendly battles. You can now play against friends via an in-game code. Tap the new game modes icon on the navigation bar and then tap friendly battle to get started. Not going to ask you guys' thoughts quite yet on that. We'll come back to that one. General updates here. You can now change your name within the avatar menu once every 30 days. Zabu has been added to Series 5 in the token shop. Updated player support conversations now have a red dot notification to let you know a response is waiting. So I think this is interesting. I want to talk about this really quick. You kind of already alluded to it, Teddy, but this being a 5-week month, some of the season pass months, we only have 4 weeks. Some we have five. We have five this month. And so Zabu is being dropped with this patch, even though he's still like purchasable. So I think that's interesting. And I'm assuming we'll kind of see that in the just, well, I don't know. I now that they have the ability to, I guess that doesn't apply here. Sorry, I'm kind of thinking through my thoughts here. I think it's interesting that, you know, it's, you can purchase it, but also you could theoretically open it from a reserve at the same time. Does that make sense? Kind of an interesting situation.
I find it very interesting as well, because the cadence I was expecting was month by month, all the battle pass cards would move down. Mm-hmm. So I actually wanted to see Surfer move down at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Now he's getting like hung up in series four longer than I was expecting. I'm really waiting to see when a battle pass cards hit series three to consider that the full cadence of what we can expect on things going free to play.
Yep. Yeah. We'll probably know more on that by the end of February. We'll kind of see what comes down then. Right. An interesting situation. I will say that when I first created my account, I did not do my normal username for one reason or another. I don't know why. Maybe I was feeling pretty crazy that day. So finally, after months of playing this game, I changed to my normal name that I use, which is BlueSpruce17. So now when people play against me, they'll actually know it's me. So very, very happy for that feature. We'll just run through a couple of things here. A voice over volume slider has been added to the settings menu. And they added new effects for Ghost Rider when there's no card to play. That all being said, let's dive into the meat here, which again, we've already said is maybe a little bit more lean than we were expecting. We have two card changes here and then a couple of text updates. So let's dive into the first one. I am excited to hear your guys' thoughts. I didn't get any of your thoughts before recording, so this will all be fresh. But we have Leader, the much-awaited change. Leader has gone from a 6-cost 3-power card to a 6-cost 7-power card with a completely changed ability that says, on reveal, copy all cards your opponent played to the location to the right, but on your side. So, to break that down a little bit more, for example, if you played Leader at the leftmost location, it will copy all of the cards that your opponent played at the left location, but in the middle. So one location to the right on your side of the board. Does that sound right to you guys, or am I saying that wrong?
Hold on. Yeah. So if you play it to the left, then it will copy the cards the opponent played to the middle on your side. So you match. It's like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
They're going to play.
I was saying it wrong. Okay.
Yeah. So you play them on left. You get what they play on middle, on your middle.
Interesting. Okay. I was thinking it was like what's across the board from you, but then it like slides one over. I'm like, that's so confusing. That makes it a little more clear, a little more straightforward. So you said it, Teddy Ninja. This is a rework, right? It's not just oh, we're going to change the stat line, change the cost.
New leader, new meta, man.
Yeah. We'll go to you first. What are your thoughts on this leader change?
Okay. So I was probably higher. Like, I liked Leader more than I think the average person in the community, because I saw him as the free-to-play player's ability to still climb effectively against everything else that was in the meta. This change really guts him. I think that there are still situations where he can be played. I was experimenting with one of the mods on my community in battle mode, which is incredible for card testing, absolutely incredible for card testing, where the shell is you run Leader inside of Zabu, Spider-Man. Spider-Man is the beautiful card here, locking out the opponent from being able to play. Leader now is a 7-power body, can make up the gap there, and that you understand where the opponent has to match you, and then you get the copy to maintain tempo. That's kind of the world that I see him surviving in. Or if he's still getting played in Ramp, where he was popular alongside Leech, you also have the Doc Ock, which is going to completely choke out one of their lanes. That can also give you a space where you pair him up with the Doc Ock, 7-power body, helping you out and then matching on the side.
Yeah. I will say, before we jump over to you, Lou, to hear your thoughts, I had the exact same thought as you. Spider-Man Leader was what came to my brain this morning as I was reading the patch notes. I said, okay, Spider-Man on 4. All of a sudden, because, you know, sometimes in like a Zabu deck or other decks, you want to play Spider-Man on 5, right? You want to lock out your opponents on the last turn. But now Spider-Man's good on 4, right? You play Spider-Man on 4, then you play Leader on 6, and it works well. Lou, what are your thoughts on this rework of Leader?
Yeah, I think I was one of the few players that also really liked Leader and didn't want to see him changed, but I guess this is fine. I haven't tried any Spider-Man shenanigans with him yet. I have tried battle mode a few times, just same old decks I was playing in them before. Definitely had some misplays with them, trying to fully understand how the card worked and stuff. But yeah, I think this mostly puts Leader down. I think there may be still some niche places with Spider-Man and stuff that could work, but I think this is going to dramatically reduce the play of Leader.
Yeah. Kind of building on that, my thought, I mean, you guys maybe disagree. I'm not one of those people on the internet that says, like, Leader doesn't take any skill. You just throw them down and it's stupid, right? People kind of digress into that kind of discussion on Reddit, Twitter, everywhere, Facebook. I've seen it all over. But there was kind of a strategy. I mean, you know, you play good cards, you get enough stats, and it's like if you're up by 2 locations, and depending on the deck you're playing against, you throw a Leader down at the right location, you have a very high chance of winning, right, against a lot of different deck types. I think this makes Leader a little more nuanced and almost like a higher skill level to play, for better or for worse. Something like Titania or some of these cards that, like, you have to really think multiple turns ahead, and like, when are you going to play them and how are things going to flip out, you know, flip across the board and lock out your opponent, etc., right? So it almost adds this layer of complexity, which maybe is good because, you know, it's fun to like have decks that you kind of have to like plan out and really strategize across the board, but that obviously maybe makes it a little less accessible for all players to use Leader. But I don't know. I don't think this is a bad change. I think it adds a little bit of complexity, but I think that's better for the game in the sense that, there were counterplays to Leader, but I think Leader was one of those just kind of poor play experiences for a lot of people. So maybe this feels a little less bad because, you know, you could say, oh, wow, my opponent really like thought about this and strategized really well to pull this off. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
No, yeah, there were definitely some things where leader was just silly, especially leader copying leader. Like that felt, just watching it, it looked dumb, kind of with the spam out on the board, etc. So I think that the change does move it into a good direction. And it does make your deck construction more interesting, having to have a different finisher if you still want to rely on leader, really needing to be able to call where the opponent is playing to. And so now, yeah, like wave into leader just blank and early is not nearly as good. You do have to put more thought and construction into your play pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. Lou, any last thoughts from you on leader?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be playing with it more and seeing if I can make it work. I think Spider-Man's a good place to start there. So thanks, Teddy, for that.
Yep. Zabu, Shuri, Spider-Man, Shuri on the leader, 14-point leader. Oh my gosh.
That does sound pretty sweet.
That definitely sounds like what I'll be gemming tomorrow.
Let's go.
Yeah, but leader, like I said, I think it's something needed to be changed. It started becoming so toxic with people really wanting a change. And I think it was an easy card, like you're saying, a low skill level card. There were people just jamming it in their decks and, you know, turn six just playing it and, you know, winning a lot because it just copies the power. But there's definitely ways to play around it before, and it's going to be interesting to find new ways to still make it work.
Yeah, I don't think leader's dead. I think it's just going to take some time to test out some of the things we're talking about and other ideas people are going to have. And I think leader will have a place. And you know, in the notes that they've kind of, you know, expressed their thoughts about leaders, the hope is that this brings leader play down a little bit, but they don't want to kill leader. But they want to bring the play of other, you know, great six cost cards up. So I think it'll be interesting to see if that is the case over the next couple of weeks. But let's jump over to our next card and we'll switch. We'll start with you first this time, Loot Muncher. But let me read the change to the card here first. So this is Wolverine. Wolverine went from a 2-cost 3-power card to a 2-cost 2-power card. And the ability now reads, when this is discarded or destroyed, regenerate it at a random location with +2 power. And again, we like to clarify things before we dive in here. This should be every time Wolverine is discarded or destroyed, meaning you could destroy him multiple times on the board, and each time it's going to regenerate with 2 more power at a random location. Is that how you guys understand it?
Yes.
Okay. Loot Muncher, we'll start you off. You know, we've talked about Wolverine changes in the past and, you know, maybe what we'd like to see kind of Wolverine versus, of course now I'm going to forget 3-cost 4, power. It's the guy that
Sabretooth.
I'm like the guy that Wolverine hates. we pondered about changes here. So now we finally have a change to Wolverine. What are your thoughts? Do you like what you see?
It's definitely interesting. It's definitely something I want to play with. When I first read it, my first thought was, oh, 2 power doesn't seem that great. Why don't they just make it double? And then I was like, oh, that card already exists, Deadpool. So I really think that Wolverine could possibly see more play in your Death Wave kind of decks where you just have a lot of destroy effects, maybe in some kind of Deadpool list where you just are trying to destroy lanes over and over again, keep growing the Wolverine. I think this, I've seen people play him in Galactus decks. So if you can destroy it before, and then when Galactus destroys everything, you can have 6 power come over that can help you win the lane. I know some Galactus players don't want priority, so that could be a problem there. But I like this change. I think it could definitely lead to him seeing more play because before, the only time I really saw it was in Galactus decks. So hopefully this just opens up and has them do more playable. I do want to point out, though, because it was really funny that in the dev notes that they said Wolverine sees virtually no play at the moment, which is a bummer given how iconic he is. Saw a meme on Twitter that was Cyclops card and says, what am I, a joke to you? So
that's exactly where my brain went. I was just like, you mean, that being said, obviously Cyclops does see some play in Patriot or, you know, things like that. But I thought the exact same thing. I'm like, you know, you kind of didn't give abilities to some pretty iconic cards as well. So Yeah, very interesting. Thanks for sharing the thoughts there. Teddy, let's go to you. What do you build on those thoughts that Loot Muncher shared?
I think this is great. It does finally put Wolverine over Sabretooth, whereas before I would actually favor the Sabretooth if I had to choose between the two of them. He still doesn't really get anything on the discard side of his ability. That side of things is a little bit of a mystery as to why it's even there for me. Mm-hmm. But this plus two is great. It means that if you destroy him once, you're up to a tempo play. You destroy him twice, the 2-6 stat line is great. And then if you destroy him three times, you're really making money. So you're looking at something that might even start edging Bucky out if you're someone who's running Venom in your Deadpool, getting all of these stats onto the board. Venom holds them onto one body, move the stats elsewhere through some other effect, hit it with a Zola, hit it with a Taskmaster, and be able to capitalize there. I think the play pattern for this deck to really shine moves it a little bit away from Death Wave, and then when things go away from Death Wave, they end up being not as good. So I don't know if it's going to elevate that entire list, but I do love just seeing this consistency. Like, he's a two cost, right? They can only do so much for a two cost. He's not a build around card, in my opinion, but he is going to start elbowing his way back in, where it was really just you had to play like Nova and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking, you guys have mentioned Venom, Deadpool, right? And that's where my brain went as well. But I'm thinking kind of the turn order, right? So like turn one, ideal play, Deadpool, obviously. Turn two, you know, typically in that has maybe been play Carnage, right? But here you could play Wolverine is my thought. And then, okay, on turn three, you play Carnage or Deathlok, right? And then, because you probably want to build it up a little bit more before you do the Venom, or yeah, before you do Venom, right? But then it's a little awkward because then you hit turn four and you can't play Wolverine like and Deadpool down and then like destroy it again because you don't have another destroy card to play for one cost, right? So it kind of clogs it up a little bit in that play, I think.
Well, so he's not coming back to hand. He's just moving to a new location on the board. And then you just with the Deadpool and then you capitalize again.
You are 100% right. And I knew that. But then I started thinking through this as you guys were talking. And I was like, yeah, that's not that good. Okay, throw everything I just said out the window. Wolverine's great in that deck. Go try it out. You heard it here first. Now, okay, that makes it a lot better. Because then you're really just playing Deadpool, which is going back to your hand wherever Wolverine landed. And then you're just doing the next destroy. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Wolverine just keeps growing, growing, jumping across the board. Deadpool keeps doubling. Then at some point, you know, you're venoming on the two of them on turn four, right? You play Deadpool down again and you play Venom wherever Wolverine is. And then, I mean, you've got a great Venom, Deadpool, you know. So I'm interested to see. You know, that deck has always been decent. That maybe this brings it up just one more notch, right?
Yeah, I hope so, because I do really like it. Yeah, we'll see. The trick with it has always been to me how much control and other pieces you can bring in, but then you start losing consistency on these engine pieces that you have to find to combo them together. So it's really been helped out when the hot locations will destroy stuff for you, which has been the case here for Savage Lands. But yeah, we'll see where it goes moving forward.
Yeah. Well, let's jump here to the just the text updates, just a clarification. So text only updates. In addition to Wolverine, a few cards use the word play in their text, but don't actually play anything. Play means you put it down from your hand to the location. So this small update aims to avoid players misinterpreting how these cards interact with triggers that specify playing a card. So Hela has been updated, Jubilee has been updated, and Sentry have been updated with text changes. How do you guys feel about, what's my question here? Sometimes I see these kind of complaining threads online. I'm not saying they don't have any merit, right? But kind of, you know, this is the list of every text inconsistency in the game. Do you guys feel like we're in a bad spot, middle spot, good spot as far as like text consistency with cards in Marvel Snap compared to other card games?
Well, I tried to learn Yu-Gi-Oh! A couple months ago, and I think that Marvel Snap is in a great spot overall. I do love these clarifications and just keeping things consistent so that people picking it up can pick it up as intuitively as possible. There's still, I wish that we had via the game this like niche case kind of FAQ, just because I'm the kind of nerd who would love to read over that stuff. Like, did you know that if a card gets blanked out by Leech but then cycled back into the deck by Lockjaw and then gets redrawn, it has the ability refreshed? It happens. And, you know, in that one case, it was actually good to know that it happens. But, like, you would never expect that to be the case. So I hope that we keep on getting some clarifications and maybe an expanded FAQ. But I like where the just the card text is at.
Yeah. Luke, do you feel like it's in a good spot? Do you have any complaints?
I think it's fine. I think, you know, I've been on this a lot, this podcast a lot with you for the patch notes. So we've seen a lot of wording changes and stuff. And I think that just happened to do with them being a small team and, you know, them trying to put out their first game. So they're trying to get the wording to be all uniformed and easy to understand as possible. And I just think it's just growing pains of them just trying to make sure everything. And I mean, I like that, you know, they not only do they change Wolverine, they changed other cards too. They're saying, okay, this is a problem, so we'll change these other cards also to have similar text, try to get everything to be formed and stuff. And Teddy, see, I kind of disagree with just reading through stuff like that. That's why I like playing the game. I want to see the weird interactions with locations and cards and stuff. So when I'm playing against my opponent, I have an upper hand because I know that if I get leeched and I play it until Lockjaw, the effect comes out. That gives me a slight advantage because I'll play the game more.
Yep.
Yeah, so interesting. I'm glad that they're continuing working on it. I think it's in a pretty good state. I understand, you know, sometimes I've read through some of these and I understand the complaints. And I think it's hard when people come from games like Magic where it's like everything is very literal and they've had, you know, decades to kind of perfect the card language, right? And how things are written. Obviously, this is still a very new game. I think it's in a good spot, but I think it'll continually get better over time.
Yeah, right now, I think the one outlier that I've gotten complaints in chat about is that Gambit has his two effects. He discards and he destroys. He will destroy whether or not he can discard. Yep. And then Zola, he has two effects on his card. He destroys and then he copies, but he will not copy if he does not destroy. And so that's the one that, like, well, if we could have gotten a little clarification there, it would have been nice.
Yeah. And listeners, if, you know, but I guess the biggest thing, if you find things that you feel like are inconsistent, if you feel strongly about the one Teddy just shared, you know, I'm sure the devs are willing to listen. So go share it in the Discord, share it on Twitter with the team. And, you know, I think that's where they're getting a lot of this feedback is through, you know, actual players. Right. And so, you know, if you're worried about something and you feel strongly about it, share your feedback and we'll probably see some more changes over time. I want to jump over to the bug fixes now. Me and Loot Muncher, who's typically on here for the patch notes, we like to look kind of for shadow buffs or nerfs here because sometimes it'll be like, this card now does this in this interaction. And it's like, oh, well, that makes that card better. I don't see a ton here. I don't know if you guys have had a chance. The one thing I want to highlight is that they fixed a bug where if you pin a card in the token shop and then you tap the back button or you press escape on PC, it shouldn't unpin the card. So people would like pin cards, but then get them unpinned. And then you feel really discouraged because you waited days for the card you wanted to pin to pop up. So I wanted to bring that up really quickly. But the one like card change that I thought was interesting was, let me find it. Mariah Hill should no longer have a chance to spawn unreleased cards.
She had that? No way.
Yeah. I think there was one card that was like, it was spawning. It was spawning Ghost, which is an unreleased card.
Oh, no. I would have ground that out until I got the effect just for a video.
Yeah. No. And so I guess that's like a shadow nerf to Mariah Hill, you know, so now Mariah Hill's unplayable.
Can we please get a card that spawns only unreleased cards?
That'd be epic. I mean, as we know, the developers of at Second Dinner, they listen to this podcast. So now that you've said it, it'll happen. So anything else? I didn't see anything else interesting in the bug fixes. Did anything else stand out to either of you guys?
The only thing I see that could impact gameplay at all, that's what I'd normally look for and try to figure out, is the one where it's a known issue. So I'm assuming it's not working the way it's supposed to, but Angela doesn't get buffed by cards returned by Luke's barge if she's already active on the location when a new card is played. So that's interesting that she doesn't trigger her effect if you have her down before the Luke's bar changes. And then the Alter Death doesn't give you a bonus energy if Green Goblin or Hobgoblin are played into them and destroyed.
Mm. That is interesting. So those, not as helpful. So
being on the known issue list, I'm assuming in the next patch or two, we will see those as, bug fixes, which will make those cards slightly better in those specific scenarios. Well, awesome. I think this is an interesting patch. Like I said, I think I expected more. Not to say that I'm disappointed. I like the changes to Leader. I like the changes to Wolverine. I think that, it's interesting. We now know that most likely we're going to see changes to Silver Surfer and Zabu in the next couple of weeks. We don't know what those changes will be. But now that they can patch cards with, they can change cards without a patch, the world is their oyster. They can kind of do what they need to do when they need to do it. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects patches and what we see in patches going forward, right? They may still choose to align card changes with patch cadence. They may choose not to do that. So let's jump over to our last topic for the day, which is the new battle mode. All three of us, we talked before the show, we all had a chance to try this out today. I'll go last, but I just want to go, let's go roundtable. I want to hear your guys' thoughts. We'll jump back over for this topic to start with Teddy. Just give us a minute or two. What are your general impressions? What do you like? What do you wish was there here at launch of this feature? And, what fun have you had with this new feature today?
Yeah, so I've gotten to play in a tournament run by Snap Clash. I've been running games with viewers and then games with people that are just part of the community that I've got built up around the YouTube channel, and have had an absolute blast playing with it. I think it's executed very well with the clear indications of how much health you have remaining, how much damage is going to be done every round, clear indication of what round you're on. Everything that's happening has pretty much made sense to me as I was playing through it. The only thing that I feel like is missing is having a friends list so that I could connect with people without having to go to a third party app and then send a code to somebody else, right? Or if I could just have a queue with random in there, like create, instead of like just join and then enter the code, can I like see a list of other empty games, et cetera, something like that, to be able to just to match without having to go elsewhere away from the app. It's something that I always look for, but I'm sure that's going to be coming soon. And it's going to be really robust once we get that.
Yeah. No, I think that's a lot of interesting points. I don't want to share too many of my points, my thoughts. So we'll jump over to you, Loot Muncher, before we bring it over to me.
Yes. I've had a ton of fun playing with friends and other content creators and stuff. Earlier I had a, 20 minutes to kill. I threw code up on Twitter. Someone instantly paired into me. So got to play it. So definitely very fun. I was a little worried about how long the games would take, but I think with actually getting to play with the turn five rule of, it automatically goes to two after the fifth round and stuff. Definitely fun playing with friends. Definitely excited about tournaments and stuff being able to be played now, being organized. I think that's the one thing I want to see come to it. I think the baseline is fantastic, but if there was some kind of option in your game, like other games give you, to really customize it, so if you could set a hot location for you and your friends battle, or I've talked about this a few places and on Twitter and stuff, I think this would be a great way to be able to, if you had like a tick where you just press the box and now you and whoever you your friend that you share the code with, you can put a deck in there with cards that you don't own. So you could, for the main reason for testing out cards in the token shop, you don't know if you want to spend 6,000 tokens on Shadow King. Well, you get a friend, y'all go into battle mode and play against each other. You can test Shadow King out before you spend 6,000 tokens on it. So I think that'd be a really cool feature to come. But
a card rental system of any kind would be fantastic, right?
Yes, for sure. Anything, any kind of way where you could play with the cards, and I'm not a tech person, not a dev or anything, don't know how hard would it be, but you just put a box to say, everyone can use every card in this match with your friend. I don't think that would be too crazy to ask for or too hard to implement. That's something I'd really like to see. Also, for tournaments, I'd like to see being able to do like hot locations or even lobbies where you just like, these 20 players in this tournament are playing, queuing into each other like the ranked queue. I think that'd be kind of cool too, to have like a lobby set up like that. But yeah, I think battle mode's fantastic, and I can't wait to see what else they do, because it's definitely exciting that they put this in the new game mode. So there's obviously, you know, they've talked about on roadmaps and stuff of other game modes coming, and now we have a place where they're going to live.
Yeah, exactly. For like the last wish list thing that I hadn't shouted out, but like a spectator mode would be amazing. Share the code with an additional person, get somebody in there. That's the shoutcaster for a tournament. It makes it so much easier to be able to cast and facilitate tournament play. Doubling back to the length also, I think that they hit the sweet spot of how long the matches go. I always felt satisfied that the decks played out enough games against each other that each deck got its stuff together for a game or two at least, and then the winner was really decided on tactical snapping, or if one deck really did feel superior, which happened in a couple of my matches, then it felt like that one was the one that won out.
Yeah. A lot of great thoughts shared. I only got to play this two or three times today. I would like Loot Muncher. I was waiting for my siblings. I was texting my siblings. I was like, hey, like, who wants to play? But nobody was responding. Nobody's answering my phone call. So I said, well, I'm throwing codes up on Twitter. Let's see who gets in first. And I didn't lose any of my matches again. I only played 2 to 3. But I felt a little bad because I don't think I lost a single like game inside, like a single round inside my matches. I think my first one was we went like 3 or 4 rounds and I won every match. And then the next one, we both snapped, I won, and the person just retreated after that. So, So I felt a little bad. I want people, if you're listening to this podcast now and that was you, hopefully you had fun, even though it was short and sweet, but I think it was good. I want to call out what you said, Teddy. I think the UI is very clear, right? It's very intuitive, the user interface, to see, okay, where am I in the rounds? How much potential health is or damage is going to do to either player, right? Whoever loses this round. I think they've done a really good job with the user interface. Sometimes we don't think about that because we're like, well, it's not the actual card game. It's just kind of the supplemental things around the edges. But that makes a real big difference about, you know, with the enjoyment and the user experience of the feature. So like that, I do agree with you, both. I mean, it's that extra step. You have to get the code. You got to copy it. Then you got to go to Discord or Twitter or somewhere to give it to somebody. Right. And I think that's just how they've implemented it now. You know, I've said this on the podcast a million times, so hopefully I don't sound like a broken record. I love that Second Dinner is willing to kind of do incremental and agile software development, right? They don't need to do everything at once before they can release it. They say, let's get the feature out there. We'll test it. We'll get it out there. Then we'll iterate on it, right? We'll add spectator mode down the road. We'll add, friends list, right? These things, I have no doubt in my mind these things are coming, but they know that it's better to get the base feature out there, get it to work, kind of the minimum viable product. We say MVP in the software world. Get the MVP out there, get people using it, and then just continue to build on the base that you have, right? So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that we got it now and not in a month or two or 6 months down the road, you know, when they've maybe added some of the other things that we're hoping to get. Would you guys agree, disagree? Am I crazy saying that?
Yeah, no, I would certainly agree that I'm glad that they got it out at the timing that they did, and especially with the global matchmaking, that makes it feel nice that came in ahead of where they had initially been projecting. So yeah, it's going to be super fun to be able to play around and see where the community can spin this out, because the community is already, they're so rabid for this, that there's all these additional features that if you're really into it, like there's a website that helps you facilitate draft tournaments. There's going to be tournaments that do ban lists and stuff for like different card selections, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that a lot of these features that will probably end up getting implemented into the app itself are already there if you're something that you're someone who really wants to play around with how well they can work.
No.
Yeah, I really like it. Just like you said, Michael, I really like that they ain't scared to put the mode out there. They know that there could be more, but it's functions. It looks nice. I like the UI a lot too. And I think you go ahead and get it out there. And then like, also, you know, you already have the game mode button now, so when you do get other game modes going, it has a place for it to go ahead and live. I really like that development style too, so I definitely hope they keep doing that. That they push stuff out when it's ready, and I mean, it's I think it helps to get feedback too, because what we're talking about, what we'd like to see now that it's in the game, I think they want to hear that. They want to know, how can we make this even better for the players? So
yeah,
you go ahead and get it out there, get it in everyone's hands, and then they can tell you what they like and don't like.
Yep, Yep, love it. One more thing I wanted to call out here is that I think this feature, you know, we've gotten features, tweaks, we got titles, we got, you know, new cards, we've got the token shop, like, right, we've seen new features, new changes to the game over the last several months, right? It's not like the game stayed static since it had its global release or since the beta. I think this is the first big feature since global release that's, like, really going to help with retention in my mind, especially with kind of more casual players. You know, I have people I work with. I've introduced them to the game. They've played it, but they've fallen off a little bit, which is okay. You know, not everybody's going to play this every day like the three of us, but several people have expressed, you know, once this is in there, that's going to bring me back in because they have all these other friends that they want to play with, right? And they've enjoyed the solo experience, but they want to play against other people in person, you know, virtually, et cetera. So I think this is going to help keep more players of varying levels of playtime, right, invested in the game and coming back because, yeah, your friend's going to say, hey, you want to play a quick, you know, round of Marvel Snap, right? You can do that now. So I think this is just another opportunity to get more people coming into the game, more people staying with the game, which is obviously the ultimate goal of a game developer is to get as many people as they can playing for as long as they can, you know, over time. So glad to see it. I think it's a great addition. It's been kind of the most requested thing for a long time now, and they know that. So a lot of fun to come here. A lot of tournaments are happening. A lot of, you know, playing with, you know, your viewers on stream, things like that. Very excited to see that going forward. Just it's another thing to enjoy in the Marvel Snap community. We've covered a lot of things here. We're just about out of time. I want to go to each of you one more time. I just want to get your kind of general thoughts. We've talked about a lot of topics. How do you feel about kind of the overall where the state of the game is as of this week? We've got new card, new location, new patch, new mode, right? Like, how are you feeling? How are you feeling about the future? We will go to Loot Muncher first this time.
I think the game's in a great spot. You know, they're putting out new features, battle mode, everyone wanted. Another point with that, I think that is a great community growing tool. So it's only going to make the community, which I think Snap has a very good one. It's only going to help it grow and retain players, like you said. But I think the game's in a good spot. There are a few things that I'd like to see changed. Some token shop acquisition stuff, some stuff that doesn't affect me. I hear a lot about people saying that token shop isn't great for people that are not pull three complete. I've been pull three complete since beta. So that's not really something I see, but I hear and see a lot of people talk about that. And I know that the devs have said that that is definitely something they're looking into make feel better in the future. So I think the biggest thing that gives me hope for this game is the devs seem to really be passionate about putting out a good product and making changes when they need to. So any complaints I have faith that in time, you know, the ones that really need to be solved will be solved.
Awesome. Teddy, let's go to you.
Yeah, no, I am super hyped. And like what you were saying with people who have fallen off of the game, you know, the ranked climb, especially early pool three, is absolutely miserable. So just to let there be something else in the game other than getting slammed and ranked by cards that you don't have is so important. And so now you find a place to be able to battle your friends or just other people in some kind of one of the communities around a content creator or wherever you find your matches, be able to get a chance to use your collection there is going to be amazing. And I think that this is also really fueling into the hardcore community that wants to be ultra competitive. I'm going to be watching that as well. So I'm really excited to see where battle mode can spin us up. And yeah, it's going to be amazing to see where we go from here.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for sharing thoughts. I've really enjoyed the conversation today. I think there was so much to talk about, and we were able to keep it in time, which I know the listeners appreciate. So thank you guys for being here. One more time, I just want to give you guys that last chance to just let listeners know where they can find you, how they can find the content that you are producing or putting out, and how they can best support you. We will go to you first, Teddy.
Yeah, so Teddy Ninja on YouTube, at Teddy Ninja 15 on Twitch. I stream Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I've got a Discord that'll be linked through those streams if you're looking to be able to match up with other people. Also, just join the streams. I'm going to be doing matches with viewers. I'm also going to be looking at some of the early tournament setups and communities that are growing up there, so it's a great time to hop in.
Awesome. I should have joined. I should have played in a match against you today while I was watching your stream.
Just throw me a ping on the Discord. We'll make it happen.
Sounds good. And then let's jump over to you, Loot.
You can find me at LootMuncher0 at Twitch and Twitter. I haven't been streaming as much lately. I've had some family stuff, but hope to get back at that soon. Also, you can go follow Cube Rush Events on Twitch and Twitter. That's another thing that has taken a little bit of backseat to real life, but another thing I hope to have coming soon with more creator tournaments and especially with Battle Mode, hopefully getting the community involved in with that too.
Yes, I'm very excited to see the first Cube Rush event post Battle Mode. So excited to see that in the next couple of weeks. So listeners, as always, thank you so much for listening. If you'll do us a favor, if you are listening on a podcasting platform, make sure to rate the podcast so that we can spread the podcast on those platforms. If you are listening and watching the podcast on YouTube, make sure you like the video, leave a comment if you would, as well as subscribe to the Marvel Snap Zone YouTube to make sure you are notified of the podcast as well as all the other great videos being put out there. With all that being said, we will catch you in the next episode. Can't Stop Snapping is a podcast written, recorded, produced, and hosted by Michael Thurman. Thanks for listening. Thank you.